This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The Supreme Court considers whether to roll back access to abortion pills. Plus, Florida bans all minors under 14 from social media.
What ends up being at issue here is age verification. How can these sites make sure that kids under 14 aren't on these sites?
And the Dominican Republic looks to a border wall to contain the crisis in neighboring Haiti. It's Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Baltimore, where a bridge collapsed early this morning, leaving as many as 20 people in the water in what police say they are treating as a mass casualty incident. Several cars fell into the river after the Francis Scott Key Bridge that carries Interstate 695 was struck by a large container ship, the fire department said. Video from the incident shows the ship slamming into one of the bridge's support pillars and the structure completely collapsing into the river. Spanning roughly 1,200 feet, the bridge is one of the longest spanning continuous trusses in the world, according to the State of Maryland's website. And for more on this story as it develops throughout the day, head to WSJ.com. Also this morning, a Russian court has extended the detention of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich by 3 months. The move comes almost a year to the day since Gershkovich was detained in Russia on an allegation of espionage that he, the journal, and the U.S. government vehemently deny. It has been 2 years since the Supreme Court allowed states to ban abortion, and today it will hear a case that could restrict access to the abortion pill across the country. At issue is mifepristone, a drug used in medical abortions, the most common form of ending a pregnancy today, and the court will hear arguments on whether the Food and Drug Administration was on solid legal ground a few years ago when it adopted rules to make the drug easier to obtain. A verdict is expected by July, right in the middle of an election season in which abortion has been a key issue. Former President Donald Trump is in need of cash, and as of today, he could be on the path to getting it, as the parent company of his social media platform, Truth Social, begins trading on the stock market. The timing sounds perfect for Trump, who's been struggling to come up with the cash to cover a legal penalty, though it's still unclear how soon he can access his nearly $4 billion stake. Markets reporter Caitlin McCabe has more.
A lot of the shareholders are individual investors. They're responsible for a lot of the excitement around the share price. I think a big question for everyone right now is when Trump can get his money out of Truth Social. Typically, people involved in these types of deals aren't allowed to sell or borrow against their shares for 6 months. Trump's board could grant him a waiver if he wanted to make such a move, which isn't entirely unheard of. But boards typically wait at least a month before letting a big owner sell. And that's because they risk setting off a flood of selling that could cause big losses for other investors.
We are exclusively reporting that former WeWork CEO and co-founder Adam Neumann recently made a bid to buy back the bankrupt co-working company for more than $500 million. Neumann has been trying to regain control of WeWork after he was ousted 5 years ago by the board. Last month, he said he was joining forces with Dan Loeb's Third Point hedge fund and other investors to explore a bid, though according to our reporting, Third Point wasn't part of Neumann's offer. WeWork said that it regularly receives expressions of interest and that it remains focused on its restructuring efforts. The company, once valued as high as $47 billion, filed for bankruptcy in November. It has been trying to renegotiate or terminate unprofitable leases in order to cut costs, but the talks have been slow-moving, and the company has said that it's running low on cash. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed legislation prohibiting minors under 14 from having social media accounts, while 14 and 15-year-olds could only obtain accounts with parental consent. WSJ tech reporter Sam Schechner told me that while the move is part of a growing trend that's seeing governments try to crack down on children's use of social media, Florida's effort is particularly restrictive.
This bill in some ways goes further because it pushes for a total ban. Parents aren't allowed to give consent for younger kids to be on social media in Florida under this bill. What ends up being at issue here is age verification. How can these sites make sure that kids under 14 aren't on these sites are going to show ID? IDs can be falsified, but they also include a lot of personal information. You're going to do facial recognition, not a totally accurate technology in the first place. And again, you might worry that the faces of your children could be hacked. So there are those potential dangers.
And the Dominican Republic is constructing a border wall along its 250-mile-long frontier with Haiti, hoping to keep out Haitians fleeing the chaos engulfing their country. Dominican President Luis Abinader signed off on construction plans 3 years ago, but has ordered work to be sped up as Haiti's government spirals into anarchy, with its capital largely under the control of warlords and gang leaders. Santiago Perez is the journal's deputy editor for Latin America and said that while the stated aim of the wall is to block human smugglers and criminals, it's also geared at stemming illegal migration.
Poverty is essentially forcing hundreds of thousands of Haitians to emigrate. There are almost 1 million Haitians working in the Dominican Republic. And a lot of Haitians are also taking charter flights to Nicaragua, and then they head north to the U.S. So there are geopolitical implications if this becomes a mass migration.
Coming up, as recent incidents reveal production problems at the likes of Boeing, leading to yesterday's leadership shakeup at the plane maker, certain manufacturers are setting an ambitious manufacturing goal: zero defects. We'll look at whether factory floor perfection is possible after the break.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
In response to a surge in recalls and other high-profile manufacturing problems, some U.S. companies, including Ford and Spirit AeroSystems, are doubling down on efforts to eliminate errors by aiming for perfection. It's something called zero-defects manufacturing, in which every product leaves the factory flawless every time. And while that might sound like a dream for plant managers, the journal's John Kyleman told our Kate Bullivant that companies in industries as varied as pharmaceuticals and snack foods are setting zero defect goals and think that they can get there.
This is something that has been building over the last few years. If you look at the number of times that this phrase is mentioned in earnings calls and annual reports, it really grows quite dramatically starting about 4 or 5 years ago. And the odd thing is that it's a rather old-fashioned philosophy that got started in the 60s with the Martin Company defense contractor when they were building Pershing missiles. And their insight back then was that it was much better to avoid mistakes in the first place than try to catch them before they hit the ignition and the missile went up in the air. And in recent years, there have been signs that quality issues are growing. There have been more recalls announced by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. A trade publication called Warranty Week has found that warranty claims by vehicle makers hit a record in 2022. So those are markers of quality problems, as well as, of course, you know, the very dramatic thing we saw back in January where a door plug flew off of a Boeing jet in the middle of its flight. But I think what is happening now is that the range of tools from artificial intelligence to other types of digital gadgets is making it a lot easier to do the work correctly every single time and to catch anything before it leaves the factory.
So, John, zero defect manufacturing, it sounds like a noble goal. But given those examples, is this quest realistic, even with major technological developments?
Some people think that this drive is not realistic, that there are just too many variables to control, too many problems that can pop up at a moment's notice, supply chains that are global, and it's very difficult to know what's happening in every single place. So there is a school of thought that these companies are just paying lip service to this and they don't really mean it and they're not really doing all they can to achieve it. But there are signs that things are changing. Spirit Aerosystems, which has been under great pressure lately for quality problems in the fuselages that it sends to Boeing, has an extremely detailed plan on how they are indeed going to reach perfection. And that involves everything from changing the types of tools that they're using to automating some processes that are now done by hand to training workers in what they believe will be a more efficient manner to using artificial intelligence and digital cameras to go over every square inch of the final product before they send it away to look for any possible problems.
Okay, so perfection also calls for some major changes to production processes. What does that mean for workers?
Probably a lot more training. There is a big issue in factories in the US and elsewhere in the world with not having enough people and having inexperienced people. You know, the people who really know what they're doing and have done it for a long time are retiring. And so you have to make sure the folks coming in to replace them are up to speed. And one solution to that I've heard is that Spirit Aerosystems is going to switch its sort of training and instructions from a text-based system to a video animation-based system, the same as any of us who've had to figure out how to do a home repair on YouTube. That's much easier to do, to absorb, than it is to try and, you know, read an instruction manual. And a lot of the things that workers are used to doing are going to be changed to automation to make sure that processes are more cohesive and happen the same way every time.
So, John, from the companies you've spoken with, is zero defects a kind of universally agreed upon solution to fix some of the current issues we've spoken about? Or are there other ways that US manufacturers can improve their production lines?
There are certainly other quality systems out there. They all kind of get to the same point, though, which is you're trying to create a system where you can prevent problems and catch them when they do happen. And the purists would say that's not going to fix the real problem, because if you're still creating defects on your production line, you're still wasting a lot of money having to scrap things. So that the true answer is not really in these digital tools. It's designing the whole system correctly to begin with.
That was the WSJ's US manufacturing reporter, John Kilman. John, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And that is What's News for Tuesday morning. Today's show was produced by Hattie Moyer and Kate Bullivant. Christina Rocha was our supervising producer. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.